staff, struck him on the head again and again. And after they'd mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Let us sing together 674. 674, there is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Let's stand and sing as we focus on Calvary. 674. How do we approach Good Friday? With the eye of faith, we can look and see. With the help of Scripture, we can piece together the scenario of what was going on. What I want to do with you this morning is to remind you of the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. Not particularly a message about the sights of Calvary, but the sound, or the words that came from our Saviour's lips. For in such cruel agony as crucifixion brought upon the sufferer, to speak any words at all is incredible. But to hear these words is beyond words, beyond incredible. And what I want us to do is to take the words personally to our hearts. We should always try and do that, shouldn't we, when we read God's word anyway, to embrace the words that Jesus speaks, take them to our own hearts. But I also want us to just let them echo a little bit as well, so that from our lives, those around can hear and see the impact of what these words are all about. So what I'm proposing to do is to divide the words up and just to reflect upon them with you quietly, and then to lead you in prayer a number of times. And we're going to intersperse that with some musical items as well, just to help us focus as well. So embrace and echo. Let those words help you this morning in your reflections. Let me begin then with the first of Jesus' seven words upon the cross. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. from the very outset this morning. Let us receive our Lord's forgiveness. For he died because of each one of our actions, for our sins, the sins of the world to which we belong. Remember, we must forgive to be forgiven. Forgive yourself, but forgive others who have sinned against you. Because only in doing so can we be free from our past. And that's the wonder of these words that Jesus speaks. Forgive them, wanting to set free even those who would put him there on the cross. And you recall as well, to the side of him, there were two thieves, and one responds in a positive way. Believing, simple faith. And Jesus says, secondly, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus deals with the past and he secures the future in just those brief few words on the cross. Because of his death, forgiveness and the future, eternal life and glory. The thief could do nothing, remember, to assist his journey to paradise, but believe. He could only embrace God's gracious gift. And what a future awaits. What a future awaits us if we are believers on the Lord Jesus this morning. How different from our past and what we leave behind. So this morning, echo in your own hearts that future destiny that lies ahead for you. Let's live in the light of it that others might see the hope that we have. What the Lord has promised to us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with our past, my past, and giving us a glorious future. Help me let go of the past and any hurts there, and help me move on into all you have prepared for me, for us. Amen. We're going to sing a little chorus together. Let us remain seated as we sing 795, You Laid Aside Your Majesty. We'll sing it twice through, but let us just remain seated as we ponder these lovely words. 795. So Jesus speaks from the cross words that give freedom, freedom from the past and hope for the future. We return to those words now that Jesus spoke from the cross. When Jesus saw his mother there, the gospel writer records, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Yes, at the cross we find personal forgiveness, but through the cross we find family. There's freedom from our past, but freedom to belong, whatever our background or experience in life has been. That's the wonderful thing about the cross, isn't it? And the wonderful thing about the church. We are made up of so many different people from so different, many different backgrounds. Ultimately, it's going to be from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Such is God's wonderful plan of salvation. So let us embrace that truth together this morning. We belong. We belong to Christ through our faith in him, and we belong to the church, to one another in Christ. And let us echo that truth to a fragmented world around us, letting others know they too can belong to the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. What our world is crying out for, people longing to belong to some way, to somewhere. Sadly, many look in all sorts of the wrong places, but here, in God's family, through faith in Christ, we belong. And Jesus also said from the cross, having made provision for Mary, his mother, it's recorded, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken that we never shall be. That's the truth. He was cut off, we grafted in. The life he lives and the life he gives to us cannot be severed. We sing that hymn, don't we? "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." So together this morning, let's embrace the security of that truth. If you belong to Christ now, you always will be. You always will do for all eternity. And in that security, we can reach out to others who long to know a similar security. They can find that in our Lord. So again, let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to belong to you and your family. Bless our brothers and sisters around the world, especially those who are suffering for following you. Thank you for the bond of fellowship by your Holy Spirit that we know and that cannot be broken. Help us to think of others more. Help us to promote family unity. Help us to be a blessing to one another. As you made provision for your family, help us to help each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Free from the past, free to belong. Valerie's going to come and sing now a solo to help us again focus on all that Jesus went through at Calvary. Thank you.
They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree. with pierced hands and feet and side for you, for me. Upon his head a crown of thorns, upon his heart my shame. For me he bled, for me he died, and died spoke my name. Forgive her, oh, forgive, he said, and bowed his sacred head. Oh, love of God, my sacrifice, for me thy blood was shed. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree, with pierced hands for you, for me. His love I know, his voice I hear, I worship at his feet, and
and there on the cross, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Our Lord's needs were met as he met the needs of us all. He was provided for as he provided for us eternally. We need never thirst spiritually, for through his death, resurrection, ascension, we have been given the Holy Spirit. Ours are streams of living water. And so this morning, yes, we come with a sadness focusing on the cross, but already we've seen there's a freedom, there's a hope, there's a future, and there's indeed the power that we need for living, the provision of God for our lives. So let us embrace that. Let us receive that from the Lord. Be filled, says the Apostle Paul, be being filled, be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. And then let that echo in your mind. Let the Lord, let those streams of living water flow from your life out into this dry, barren world of ours. The Lord was thirsty, but we need never be. For he's quenched that thirst within us, and that thirst can be quenched for those around us. And then it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. There is no more to do. He has done it all. It is a complete work at Calvary. Wounded for me, wounded for me. there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. Now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. He died once for all. Let us embrace that truth together this morning. Every sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west for all time. Let us echo that truth to this world overwhelmed by sin. Is the hope only in Jesus? For he died for the sins of this world. There's a Saviour who died to bring freedom from sin. It is finished. That work was done. And the impact of it still being felt today to the very end of time. And then finally from the cross, Jesus called out with a loud voice, not a whimper, a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. We mentioned the words Jesus spoke of being forsaken as sin was laid upon him and sin was dealt with. But now, relationship restored. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The pure, perfect, sinless spirit of our Lord, presented to the Father. Job done. Sacrifice complete. This morning, let us embrace our victorious Saviour. We serve a risen Saviour in the world today. We're not looking back and just looking upon a Saviour upon a cross, as some do, thinking that's it. It's not it. 3 days till that power is seen and that victory is verified. But here, our Lord breathes his last, takes a well-earned rest. Embrace this morning that if your faith is in him, you too can rest in his finished work. And we need to let the world know, echo to the world, that the Father's hands are the safest place to be. Jesus gave up his spirit, and we can entrust everything to our Heavenly Father. So again, bow your heads to pray. Thank you, Lord, that my salvation is all down to you and your completed work. Forgive me when my help is a hindrance. Thank you for your provision of everything I need to live a godly life. I'm sorry I don't always do things your way with your resources. Help me to serve others in the security of my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Free from the past, free to belong, free forever because of Jesus' work. Turn to number 476. 476. "My Lord, what love is this?" 476. I just want to continue just for a few moments more to think about the freedom that is ours in Christ through what he has done for us at Calvary. And I want to move away from the gospel accounts, but I would encourage you to read those through again through the day. And I want to go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And I want to just pick out three very short passages that speak of the death of our Lord and the significance to the early church, the significance for every generation of believer. The first is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. And in the passage, it speaks of Jesus as our mediator, the mediator between God and man. It speaks of the old covenant, the old way, and the new covenant in his blood. And it says in Hebrews 9 and verse 15, "He has died as a ransom to set them free. He has died as a ransom to set them free. Of course, Calvary is a freedom day, freedom from sin through our Saviour's death on the cross. It could be put this way: Calvary was the drop-off of the ransom for our release. Now, you may have seen, I'm sure you have, a TV drama or a film where there is a dilemma about whether to meet a ransom request or not. The receiver of the ransom note is told where and when and how much is required. And it seems as though the kidnapper, the evil one, holds all the cards. That's how it works, isn't it? That's how it normally unfolds. Never think that that is what is happening at Calvary. Can you call it an eternal kidnapping through sin? The enemy's work there in the garden with Adam and Eve? Well, in one sense, no, because they were not taken against their will, were they? They freely went along with the temptation. And when it comes to the ransom being paid and how and where the drop-off should be, we know from Scripture that this was God's plan before creation, that his Son should become a sacrifice for sin. The where and the when have been decided in heaven's courts ever before mankind fell into Satan's hands. And the price paid had been set as well, as the only price that could bring release for those in the evil one's grip. God, in his wisdom, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving, but holy in his ways, put together this plan of salvation that is incredible, isn't it? To think that the Lord should do this in this way, and that it should impact your life and mine. So it's not that the kidnapper, the evil one, has all the cards in his hands, calling the shots of what's going on at Calvary. Far from it. Freedom from sin is coming about because of God's eternal plan of salvation. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. It was not taken from him. He laid it down, which just adds to the awesomeness of this day, doesn't it? He who knew no sin became sin, that we might know, we might become the righteousness of God. This was the plan. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Within that country and western hymn, it goes on to say, he didn't give me a loan, he gave himself, now he's my own. He's gone to heaven to make for me a place, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Freedom from sin, a debt that has been paid. But in setting us free, he also broke the power of the enemy over us. It's the wonder of Calvary, that it wasn't just, okay, there you are, the price has been paid, but it was the breaking of Satan's hold as well through sin. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, where Jesus is described as being our brother and sharing our humanity, it says this: he shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. It's not just freedom from sin, it's freedom from the slavery that sin brings. We are reconciled to God. We are, through Christ, back in relationship with God as he intended it to be. It's not Eden restored because we live in a fallen world, but it is that relationship back open to us, and of course the future promised to us as well. So Charles Wesley would write in his hymn, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." The amazing saving grace of God and the keeping grace, because what he has done has an ongoing effect upon us. We do sin. We are tarnished. We do pick things up from this world. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness is the promise that goes with Calvary. Yes, a once and for all act with an ongoing effect. Releasing us, setting us free from sin and the bondage of sin and the enemy's hold upon us. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 8, we discover there Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, not only is there freedom from sin and from slavery, but freedom to serve. Because it says, keep your lives free. Keep your lives free. It goes on to speak about contentment, confidence, and conduct, and how in the Lord we are provided for. We have all that we need. We can be content in our Lord this morning. We have his help. We can be confident in him. And in our conduct, again, we have what we need to live for his glory. The ransom has been paid. We are free, free to live and live life to the full. Some of you may have seen this week in the news that French policeman who was honoured for taking the place of someone who had been kidnapped in a supermarket in France. He lost his life and she was freed. Well, there's a picture for you on a small scale of what our Lord has done for us, because he became our substitute. He took our place. He took our punishment. But there's something more, and there always is something more with the Lord Jesus. Any earthly illustration always falls short of our Lord. He gave his life for us, but he gives his life to us as well. You know, this French policeman, he gave his life for that French woman, but his life is now over, and she lives her life on her own. But the Lord Jesus has given his life for us and to us, that we are not alone. The Lord is with us, so that we can keep our lives free, free from sin, in full contentment that the Lord gives, in full confidence, with faithful conduct, living our lives for the Lord. Through his life, by his Spirit, we can know these things. So this morning, as we look to the cross, see your freedom, freedom from sin. See that the enemy's hold is broken. Freedom from slavery, set free. Set free to serve, but you're not on your own, wondering what you should do. The Lord is with us, that our lives might be kept free and lived the best way possible for his glory, honour and praise. Turn to number 315. Stand to sing with me. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. And this hymn takes us to think of the eternal blessings and benefits that are ours. It speaks of how he has led us from darkness to light, but ultimately leads us through life to the glory of his very own presence. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. I'll sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. This is our Lord. This is his work. This is the impact that it makes. So let us be free, free in the Lord to serve him, free from our past, free to belong to the family, and free to serve in his kingdom. That's still to do for you. But thank you that it isn't down to what we do to save us, but we do want to serve you better. And so we pray that you would spur us on in our service. Keep the cross before us and the world behind us. Grant us this day, and indeed over these next few days, to again just have time to reflect, time to take to heart and embrace all that you have done. And Lord, for our community and world, oh Lord, use each church, use each activity of each church today and through this weekend to speak again loudly to the world that they might find their answer, the only answer, in you. So hear us, Lord. Help us now as we go our separate ways into this world to keep close to you. Thank you that you are with us and you'll never leave us or forsake us. Oh, what a wonderful promise. Bless and keep us now. Seal the truth of your word in our hearts. Keep us free because you've made it so in such a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.